Continuing with Parsha, so we're doing Hazinu, part 2. We had seen that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jews, listen up, listen, O heavens, listen, O earth, you are my witnesses, I'm warning the Jewish people to keep the Torah. And I know that if they have all this wealth, everything goes well. Vayishman Yeshurun, Yeshurun, the Jewish people are called Yeshurun, from the term Yashar, the straight ones. As opposed to Yaakov, that comes from the term Akev, Okba, crooked. The Jewish people are Yeshurun here. And as Yeshurun gets fat, Vayivat, they kick. They got everything they need, so they kick, so to speak. They feel like they don't need God. Shamanta, Avita, Kasita, you got so fat, there are folds in your flesh. And you leave God. And you forget that He is the rock, He's the one that's your salvation. And God, so to speak, they forsake Him for other beings. They forget that God is the one that gave them everything they have. Hashem gets upset, and we had left off with Hashem says He'll hide His face from them, and we'll see what'll happen with him. Hashem says about the Jewish people that He's going to punish them and send a fire against them and send bad things to them. So to speak, God says, I'll use up all my arrows against the Jewish people. Our sages say that within this curse is a hidden blessing. God says, I'll finish all my arrows, chitzaya chale, bam, in them. Herein we have a promise that God will punish, and punish again, and punish again, but we will remain existent. Chitzay kalim, my arrows I will finish, God says, but you I won't finish off. I will finish my arrows in them, God says. So to speak, I'll finish my arrows in them. They'll still be around. And our sages say that this is a special promise to the Jewish people. Ordinarily, the prophet tells us, Ani Hashem lo shiniti. Simple understanding to this, God says, I am God, I haven't changed. Our sages say that that is to be understood from the term sheni, not only shone. The simple understanding is, Ani Hashem, I Hashem lo shiniti. I am not shone, I am no different, I am the same God. But our sages say that this should be understood as lo sheniti, like sheni, a second time. I've never hit a nation twice. God says, I wait till a nation deserves to be destroyed. I let them sin and sin and sin. When the time comes, I wipe them out one shot. I don't hit a nation twice. When it comes time to wipe them out, I wipe them out. The Egyptians deserve to be wiped out, I wipe them out. The Babylonians deserve to be wiped out, I wipe them out. Every nation that deserves to be hit, I hit once. I don't hit twice, God says. V'atem b'nei Yaakov, and you the Jewish people, lo chilitem, you're not wiped out. Even though you I've hit again and again and again. And the Jewish people, God says, you guys are going to get hit. There's a chapter in the prophet Isaiah, in Yeshaya. Hein yaskil avdi, behold my servant will finally get wise. This chapter was heavily censored. Because in this chapter, the prophet Isaiah discusses either the Jewish people or the Messiah. One or the other are different understandings. The Rambam wrote a whole compilation on this segment. Basically, it's one chapter in Isaiah. Explaining how this refers, I don't remember if the Ramban goes that it's the Mashiach, and Rashi says the Jewish people or vice versa. Discusses about how he is going to be hit. He is going to be beaten. He is going to suffer. He is going to be mocked. He is going to be scorned. He is going to be looked down upon. And finally, everyone will recognize that all his suffering was for them. And this, we're familiar with this as a Christian concept, but really it's a concept that shows up in Isaiah. The Navi Yeshaya tells us that there will come a time when the world will recognize either about the Jewish people or about the Messiah, that he suffered so much and it was all for the rest of the world. We are told, Chitzai Achale Bam, God says, I will finish off my arrows in the Jewish people. Moshe is standing with the Jewish people about to enter the land of Israel. They don't yet have a dynasty. There isn't yet a land, a king. Everything's there, but we haven't begun our reign. We're at the beginning. We're about to enter the land. And Moshe is telling them, I know you will sin, and I know you will be punished, and you will last, and ultimately you're still the chosen people. Our sages say that this pasuk is referring to all the curses that we read in Parshas Kisavo. If you recall, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we read Kisavo, all the curses. And the Jewish people were standing there shivering. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them 98 curses, he's telling them. And the Jews say, how are we going to stand this? 98 curses. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't worry. I'll finish my arrows in them. My arrows will finish, God says. But the Jewish people won't be finished. The gematria of chet is 98. A numerical value, chet is 8 and tzadi is 90. God says, I'll finish my arrows, but I won't finish you. God says, I'll punish the Jewish people. What? What pasuk is this? Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. The curses are in Kitavo, correct.
What's chetz mean?
Chetz is an arrow. God says He will send all kinds of curses, all kinds of ways of destroying the Jewish people, all kinds of fears. God says, Amalti, I have said, Af Ehim. I will put them in a situation where they will be non-existent, so to speak. I said, God speaks. God says, if it were up to me, so to speak, I'd wipe them out completely. Ashvita me'enosh zichram. I'd wipe out the Jewish people. There'd be no Jewish people. That's what the pasuk says. If it were up to me, God says there'd be nothing left. But I can't do that.
No. I'm saying it is up to him.
Oh, it is up to him. God says, if not for a certain fact, I would wipe out the Jewish people. What is that fact? It doesn't say the promise to Avram. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say our merits. What does it say? So we're going to read the psukim literally. And then we'll add interpretations. Read literally, what do the psukim say? I have said I will wipe them out. I'll cause them to be forgotten from mankind, which could be understood. I'll scatter them. They won't be known as a nation anymore. Doesn't have to be understood. God says I'll wipe them out. But God says I'll make their remembrance forgotten from mankind. They won't be known as the Jewish people. They'll be scattered. Some in Taiwan. You have Chinese Jews, Japanese Jews, American Jews, French Jews, German Jews. You don't have a Jewish people. That was our situation in exile. That's one possible understanding. But God says, that's what I said I would have done. Lulei, if not for the fact, kaso yevagu. I see the anger of the enemy all piled up, mounted up. Unless there be a situation where their enemies start saying, oh, it's our strong hand. It's not Hashem that destroyed the Jewish people. It's us. We destroyed God's chosen people. If not for the fact that the nations don't recognize, they don't have the understanding to understand that How could it be that one non-Jew chases 1,000 Jews? How are they so successful in their wars? How could it be that two non-Jews chase 10,000 Jews? How are they so successful? It's because Hashem wants them to be successful. Says Hashem, if not for the fact that I fear the nations would take the credit for wiping out the Jewish people, then really they should.
That sounds like an egotistical kind of...
What's going on here, right? What's going on here? So no one likes this. It's interesting. It seems to be very good because Azina is a parsha that almost no one learns, so it doesn't bother anyone. And when they learn it, they don't understand it because it's all in a song fashion. But we're understanding it, so I came here to get on your nerves a little bit. I'm sorry, but I want you to recognize the question. You have to recognize that when you read the psukim, the question is here. That's what it says. Now we'll apply what our sages tell us. What's God saying here? Amalti afihim. I said I will put them in a situation where Ephraim, I'll put them in a situation where no one will know where they are. That's the 10 tribes. They were banished. No one knows where they are. They're gone. 10 tribes were exiled over a river which is rest on Sabbat. And like many Greek words, we have the yon. So we have a grass that in Hebrew is called ezov, and in Greek is called ezov yon. In many things we add the yon. It's like a Greek term that we have a term that you have mol in Hebrew and you have mulion in Greek. You have chul, you have chulion. You have many terms that Greek you have the yon. So you have sabbat yon, this river that rests on sabbat.
Shabbaton.
Okay.
Also the afikoman, the word afikoman comes from Greek.
Okay.
Afikomati.
Wait. Give me a minute. Let's finish and then we'll get questions. God says if it were for the Midat Adin, Ashbita Me'enosh Sichah, I would make their remembrance as a people forgotten from mankind. They should remain in this situation of exile forever. God says if it were a question of midat ad-din, what do they deserve? If you look at the justice system in heaven, then they should remain exiled forever. They don't deserve to come next. Tamas chutavot. The Gemara in Shabbos says, our forefathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they did tremendous things. God said, I'll give your offsprings a lot of things for that. But at some point, you've had many millions of Jews sinning. At some point, God says, finish. It's not an open check. There's no more schutavot. So one opinion in the Gemara and Shabbos says, you can't say, for the merit of Avraham Hashem, do this for me, for the merit of Yitzchak, for the merit of Yaakov. Finished, God says. It's over. You used it up. So God says, for that, I can't bring you back. That's what you brought up right away. What about for the sake of Avraham? God says, you can't do that. By the way, just a parenthetical comment, Tosfos says, how come we do mention it in our prayer? It says, Tosfos, there are two concepts. There's schut avot and brit avot. There's the merits of the forefathers, and there's the covenant of the forefathers. The merit, we don't have anymore. You can't ask for merits. But the covenant, God made a pact. That's always there. And that's what we mention in our prayers. Just a second. Let's just finish the point, and then we'll get to all the questions. Bart Hashem says... God says... I created man with the purpose that he should recognize I'm the creator. That's one of the purposes that man is on this earth. And I gave him the ability to choose. And I see what's happening with the nations. When they're successful, they say we're successful. They don't attribute things to God. And I can't count on them to come to the conclusion that God's running the world. The only people that have held this banner throughout history and who I could count on to hold this banner are my people. And because I have this problem that the rest of the world is not there, and the Jews have this job, which no one else can do, so even though they've sinned enough to deserve to never be redeemed from exile, but I will redeem them from exile. That's how the Ramban explains that God doesn't mean I would wipe them out so that there's no one left. God means I would wipe out the existence of a Jewish people in the state of Israel. I would wipe, there wouldn't be Jewish people, there'd be Jews here and Jews there, the state of exile. So that really should have remained. And God says, I can't. I need you back here. I need you to help bring the world where it should be. That's how I created the world. I see the nations are not living up to their job, so I need you. Yeah.
I didn't mean to do it.
I didn't do it on purpose. Yeah, sorry. He was running first. Yeah.
When we go to Hebron,
yeah.
Hebron says, don't pray to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Pray then the schut of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that your prayer should be answered.
It's a different concept. Say that when we come to someone's grave, then there's an ability to arouse them, so to speak, in heaven and certain merits of theirs by the fact that we're standing by their grave. We see that in Kalev. Kalev went to pray by a grave. We'll discuss it next week. That one of the reasons God hid Moshe's grave was so that people shouldn't be able to go pray there. The merits are so great that if you'd be able to go pray by his grave, then God would answer your prayers. And there's a certain merit that when you stand by a person's grave, then some of his merits could help. It seems to be different than the schut when we discuss schut avot. Seems to me, yeah.
Implying rather that the Jews would be in a certain, how would you understand that the Jews would be in a state of exile continuous?
What's the problem? That there would never be a redemption. We'd remain among the nations.
How would it be? As you say, that would be go against the very insane.
So that's what God's saying. That's what the Torah is saying. That God's saying. Because of this, the fact that the world is not, the world is proving itself that it cannot manage without them, so I have to do it. But really, because if I judge just them according to their merits, they don't deserve it.
That's implying that the world would be able to rise up to the challenge of the Jews being in the lowest state of spirituality to rise and, let's say, replace them?
I don't know if the world could maintain the level that the world should without the Jews, and God says, I really, the Jews didn't deserve it. No. There will be a point where they don't deserve it by their own merits. They deserve it because of the job they have to do in the world.
So it's an intrinsic quality in our nation that enables us, that makes us the chosen people.
So at the end, right. We come out according to the Ramban, right. That I don't know if that makes us a chosen people, that's a different point. But this point, it shows that this is intrinsic to the Jewish people. To be able to hold that banner, to be God's chosen people, that's something that, with all our sins, we don't have the merits to come back, but we do have that intrinsic quality that we will continue holding God's banner in the world. Now, this pasuk, there's a famous story about that the Ramban had a disciple that left Judaism. His name was Avner. And this disciple did everything he could against Judaism. And one Yom Kippur, he sent word to the Ramban, and he said, I want you to come before me. And the Ramban came on Yom Kippur, and he showed him how he killed the pig on Yom Kippur, cut him up, and ate a piece of the pig. Yeah. And he told the Ramban, how many things did I desecrate now? How many times am I chayv kares? How many times did I transgress that I have to get kares for? And the Ramban told him, I don't remember if he told him three, and he told him, no, I did four. Or he said four, and he told him five. I don't remember which one was. He said one number, and the disciple Avner told him one more. And the Ramban gave him a look, and he was silent. And then he turned to the Ramban and he said, you know why I did this? You know why I left all of Judaism? Because you once told us in a class that everything in this world is in this parsha of Ha'azinu. You told us everything in the world is there, and I don't believe it. That can't be, that everything in the world is there. And I'll prove it to you, tells the Ramban. Show me where my name shows up in Ha'azinu. Where does my name show up? If everything in the world is there, my name should be there. Prove it. So the Ramban turned around and prayed. And he turned back to Avner and he told him this pasuk. Amalti afehem. I said I will wipe them out. Ashbita me'enosh zichram. I will remove their remembrance from mankind. He said, take the third letter of the word afehem. Ashbita me'enosh zichram. That spells Avner. Afehem, the third letter is Aleph. Ashbita, the third letter is Beis. Mei Enosh, the third letter is Nun. Zicham, the third letter is Resh. Now, which verse did he quote him? He quoted him the verse that says, I will abolish them from mankind. Avner heard this. He turned pale. He went and took a ship and said, I have to repent. And he took a ship, a raft, to the middle of the ocean with no food, and was never heard from again. The rabbis say that Avner did tshuva. So the question is, if he did tshuva, then why did he have these letters signify his name? So we have a story in the Talmud about a great sage named Elisha ben Avuya. And Elisha ben Avuya was such a great sage that Rabbi Meir, every Mishnah that doesn't identify whose opinion it is, it's Rabbi Meir. When you have Stam Mishnah, you have a Mishnah and it doesn't attribute what it says to any opinion, that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was a disciple of Elisha ben Avuya. That's how great Elisha ben Avuya was. Now, Elisha ben Avuya, at one point, decided he's leaving the fold, he's leaving the faith. And there are different opinions in the Gemara what caused him to make an about face. I say all the time, and people don't believe me, that I don't know where I'll be tomorrow. I'm not sure of anything. Our sages told us, don't believe in yourself till the day you die. So I told someone this today. I said, you asked me if I'm 100% sure about this. I'm not 100% sure about anything. Do I know where I'll be tomorrow? Our sages tell us that a person as great as Elisha ben Avuya became Acher. I don't come close to him. Who am I? I know where I'll be tomorrow. If he could leave the faith, if so many other people could, do I know where I'll be? A person shouldn't believe in himself till the day he dies. That's what the Mishnah says, and it's, I think, to be understood literally. You never know. But the Gemara tells us that Acher, different understandings as to what caused him to turn away. Either he saw the tongue of one of the great sages rolling in the dust, and he said, this great tongue of such a great sage got such a punishment that the Roman tortured him. How could this be? This is Torah, how could this be their repayment for such a big tzaddik? And that caused them to leave the fold. Another story says he saw a kid, his father told him, go climb that tree, to Shiluach HaKen, the two mitzvahs that the Torah says a person will live a long life for. And the kid climbed the tree, and he did Shiluach HaKen, he chased away the mother bird, and then a snake bit him, or he fell from the tree and he died. He said, how could it be the two mitzvahs the Torah says, you do them, you live a long life, this guy does them, he dies a young life, a young kid. Different understandings in the Gemara, those are two of them, why Acher left the fold. And it says that Acher heard a heavenly voice say that people should repent. And he said, what about me? And the heavenly voice said, no, but Acher. What does that mean? Acher did so many bad things. Yeah, Acher did so many bad things. He was once asked, why don't you repent? So he said, because in heaven they say, I don't stand a chance. So the truth is that that's a test. Even if in heavens they say you don't stand a chance, you're supposed to try. Acher messed up because he didn't try.
That seems like a myth.
If Acher would have tried, he would have succeeded. And the same thing happened here with Avner. Avner, the Ramban's disciple, he saw these letters. The Ramban is telling him, the Torah is alluding that you're wiped out, you're finished. Yeah, but even that illusion that to this day we have, that's a test. He should have overcome it. And Avner did, Acher did not. Even if everyone's telling you, you can't make it, that's it. You're finished. You're worthless. You've done the worst things in the world. Imagine a person, we had a great, great sage. A person who, I don't want to tell you who he was, but he's someone who you read his prayers often during the day, who did terrible things. He left with a woman who was married. So there are different understandings. She was married, she wasn't married. Let's say she wasn't married. He caused the person to be killed. He did certain things which the Prophet told him he's going to pay terribly for. According to one understanding, he raped a girl. It's pretty bad. So we're going to discuss this person, the Mitzvah, in a few weeks. I don't want to say who it was until we can discuss it at length. I don't want to discuss who he was until we discuss it at length. But this...
Just a minute. He's the Torah expecting perfection.
The Torah is expecting that a person should always bounce back. Sheva yipol tzadik vakam. Tzadik falls many times and arises again. A tzadik is not someone who doesn't fall. Someone who doesn't fall is a malach. A human being falls.
But we find within our Israel that this is a situation. People try. All of us try.
So what's the problem?
What's the problem? Exactly.
No problem. Who said there's a problem? That's our job. But we have to try our hardest.
But to try the hardest, is Hashem expecting us perfection?
Hashem is expecting us to do the best we can.
And that's perfection.
That won't get us to perfection, no. That'll get us to the best that we can be. Hashem is expecting us to do the best we can.
And when he sees we're sincere in our efforts and are doing the best we can...
How sincere? Well, I don't think anyone's sincere. I'm sorry. You guys are all better than me. But I don't think anyone's sincere. Sorry. I don't buy it.
Listen.
I think everyone wants
to be realistic. But be realistic.
Well, look, let's say we're doing it for selfish reasons because we all want our lives to be perfect when Mashiach comes, okay?
We're not even on that level. Let's be realistic. Come on. Who are we kidding?
I
don't get it. I don't understand.
I want the blessing in my life.
Do me a favor. You want to tell me that... the Gemara says that there isn't a single person that is nitzol mirhurei avera. There's no such thing as a person that passes a single day without having thought an improper thought about women. That's a Gemara. Now tell me that's done for the sake of bringing Mashiach.
Every now and then we fall. Every now and then we
every now and then, every day, every day.
Every day, every 5 seconds.
But the fact is we're not also trying our best. We shouldn't kid ourselves. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm saying we're not trying our best. Any generation that the Beis Hamikdash wasn't rebuilt in, it's as though that generation destroyed it. That means our generation, like every generation that preceded us, did not try their best.
Right. But that's what I mean by sincerity. But even the most sincere person is going to, you know, be distracted every, you know, very often. So
I don't know.
Baruch's question is what's the definition of best? Okay.
It's different for each person. At every stage in life, the best is different. Right? But no one's doing their best. Sorry.
Each level.
You think you can think of one person in this world that's doing his best?
How do we stand a chance to be redeemed?
We didn't say that God will only redeem us if we've done our best. But our obligation is to do our best.
Yeah, I also understand this whole concept of two redemptions. One that can come through bad, one that can come through good. What's the motivation for us?
This is a great subject.
That's not for our parsha class.
I'll have to write it.
Thursday night.
Every time you say that, you confuse me.
It's Friday morning.
I
think it's pretty much done. There's another.
You should not be trying to catch up, bro.
The parasha says that they'll reach a point that Hashem will say, "You believed in other gods? Where's everything you believed in? Let them help you. Where are they? Those things that you offered them sacrifices, you used to drink the wine that you libated before them." The Rambam over here is of the opinion that this is the source for a biblical prohibition of libating wine before idols. The concept of Yain Nesef has the root, according to the Rambam, in our parsha. There was a procedure that was done that they'd pour wine as a way of sacrifice before idols. They'd pour the wine. You could pour it into another cup. You pour from a bottle into a cup, and that's called libation, the pouring of wine. And in our parsha, God says, so to speak, as part of the story, God says, go serve those gods who you poured wine before. Doesn't say a prohibition, do not pour wine before these gods. But the Rambam nonetheless inferred from here a biblical prohibition of Yain Nesef. The Rambam learns that the prohibition for deriving any benefit from Yain Nesef, the Isser Hanor, is biblical and it stems from here. God says, go ask them for help, let them help you out. These gods you served. God says, in truth, I want you to recognize I am the one who puts to death, I am the one that gives life, I am the one that causes one to be ill, I am the one that cures, and no one could save you from my hand. God says, I swear forever that I will sharpen my sword and pay retribution to my enemies, to those that harmed the Jewish people. And here we have the concept which is explained by the prophet in Zechariah, that Hashem says, Ani katzafti me'at. I angered a little bit at the Jewish people, and therefore I gave them into the hands of the nations. Vehema, but the nations, azru le'ra'a. The second I gave the Jews into their hands, they added more and more punishment than I really authorized them to give. I said, you have control over them so that they get punished. But I didn't mean that you could go that far. But once I gave them into their hands, they had the potential to harm them as much as they wanted to. And God says, for that I will pay them back. So
from that you can gather that Hashem is doing not for our sake, but for His sake.
Paying them back. Paying them back?
Besides paying them back, bringing about a redemption.
The paying them back doesn't have to be that we'll be redeemed. Maybe we'll be given to another nation and they'll get paid back, which is what happened historically. The Navi in Zechariah is discussing that God will pay certain nations back. We apply it to all nations, but in general, we were given from one nation to another nation. It's not like we got sovereignty so fast.
Damn, I'm trying to correlate this or trying to fit into the concept of Mashiach. This is a prophecy.
This is a prophecy which we have to discuss. Is this talking about Mashiach? Is this talking about the time of the Second Temple? When is this talking about? It seems to be Mashiach.
However, look, if we look at any prophecy, it applies not only to them, it applies to today.
But how to apply today is very difficult. It's true that every prophecy applies, every prophecy that we have is because it is eternal, but what message should be taken eternally is difficult to know.
But, okay, I understand. However, don't we look, in every generation, the Jewish people have sinned.
Jewish people sin, yeah.
Right. So, we, I'm trying to understand, if we can't do things or beseech Hashem in the merit of our forefathers, we should do it, we'll try to do it in our own merit.
Yeah.
So then that very prophecy applies to us right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in this we're also talking about bringing about redemption. In other words, Hashem bringing the Jewish people back, the exiles back to the land.
Potentially, yeah. that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going on now.
Yeah.
To know, to interpret what's going on now, you have to be prophet.
No, I'm trying to gather from what you're saying.
I'm not saying what's going on now. To say that the fact that we're here is part of that ultimate redemption, I don't know. We hope it is.
It seems to be the hashkafa, the yeshiva.
We hope it is, correct. We hope it is, and maybe some will say we believe it is. Okay. The pasuk that gives it away that this is really speaking about the final redemption and not about the redemption of the second temple is the pasuk that says, "Aninu goyim amo." The nations will all start praising the Jewish people. That didn't happen in the second temple.
Exactly.
So this gives it away that this is the time of the Mashiach. And here we see the concept that we're expecting for a time that the nations will also be happy that we're redeemed. And this is what we say in Shir HaMalos. As yomru v'goyim, then the nations will say, Yigdil Hashem la'asot imeleh. God did such great things with these people. And then there will be a time that the nations will also be happy about our redemption. And this goes back to what we discussed, the parasha of Hein Yaskil Avdi, that they will recognize that really it's to their benefit as well. What happened to us and what's happening to us now. For sure. Okay. Correct. The Torah tells us that we'll have a point. V'chiter admato amo. God will atone for his nation and his land. We have to know that when we speak about redemption for the Jewish people, we speak about the redemption, the fact that we're being scattered about the nations. Everyone's looking down at us. They're saying these are God's chosen people. Look at them. What are they? So that's one level of redemption. That God's name is just being desecrated by the fact that the Jewish people are in this state. Another redemption is the fact that we come back to the land of Israel. Another redemption is the fact that we have an army. Just the fact that the Jews were here under the British mandate was a certain element of redemption. We're here. We have to know that when we speak about redemption, we speak about the people, we speak about the land also. Notice in prayer we say, Uva l'tzion goel. Who's the Redeemer coming to every day we say in prayer? To Zion. But Zion needs to be redeemed. What about us? Oh, Ul Shavei Pesha, and the Jewish people who repent. Well, we're after the land. What do we say? Shavechi Yerushalayim et Hashem. Jerusalem, praise Hashem. Who is Jeremiah consoling in the whole book of Lamentations? Echa Yeshva Vadad. How is it that sat alone, who, not the Jewish people, Ha'ir, the city, who's he lamenting? The city, Ha'ir Rabat Yam, that poor city, Jerusalem, that had so many people in the past, is now sitting all alone. Have the prophecies that we read now in the Shiva Dinechemta, who are they coming to console? Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. It's true, that one is for the nation. But, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem, Zion said, Hashem has left me, Vashem Shvechani. And God says, no, I haven't forgotten you, I'm back. Hashem comes to Kinicham Hashem Tzion, God has come to console Zion, Nicham Kol Chovateh, all its broken down cities. We see that there is a concept that Tzion itself, Jerusalem, Tzion, the land of Israel, is also lamenting. And it seems that we have taken a sort of human form, and here we have in our parasha, God says, I'll atone for the land, I'll atone for the nation. And we'll end with what our sages derived from this pasuk, that the land of Israel, chiper admato amo, that the land atones for the Jewish people. The mere fact that a person is buried, a person lives here, a person dies here, a person is buried here, atones for him is a level of atonement. The land has this special element that it can atone for the Jewish people. May we merit that this year be a year of blessing. We're all coming to Yom Kippur, a year where we enter Yom Kippur with atonement, complete atonement. We're here in the land of Israel, so we have an extra boost. And we should all eat now, start eating and getting ready for Yom Kippur today, tomorrow. We have special mitzvah to eat on Sunday in preparation for Yom Kippur. Our sages teach us that you should eat as much as you can on Sunday, and then God considers it like you fasted 2 days. God says, if you eat as much as you could on Sunday, then I'll consider the eating on Sunday as though you fasted Sunday and Monday.
I could never get to that.
If you eat a lot on Sunday, it'll feel as if you're fasting twice on Monday.
Let's get ready. Mitzvah, our prayers should be accepted. Tomorrow morning, God willing, we have class at...